And that's why I think morbid obesity is a good thing.
Oh,
welcome to my TED Talk.
All right, hey everybody, welcome to the first podcast. Wait, hold on. Okay, all right, let me start that over.
Don't swear in the first 3 minutes.
Okay, all right, let me start over. All right.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first podcast. Donovan, start the podcast for us. Do our job.
Well, apparently I'm not allowed to swear, so I probably shouldn't be.
It's okay. Wherever you swear, I'll insert a little,
Come on, everybody.
Make it really hard for him.
All right. Welcome to the first podcast. This is the podcast that is not the first podcast, but the first lying one, because apparently you guys are a bunch of liars.
But you can't prove it's not the first podcast.
That's true.
I can very much prove that, actually.
Well, no one has, so...
Okay, go ahead. While he's doing that, I'm going to ask Kudos. Why are you here?
I am testing out for the position of... third co-host, because Doplex really didn't pan out as well as everyone was hoping. I'm here as well. So if you liked Doplex, I'm him, but with a weirder accent.
Better.
No, I wouldn't say that. Just different.
Yeah,
more foreskin.
If you liked Doplex, I'm like Crystal Doplex.
Oh.
Anyway,
so you ruin people's lives a little bit quicker than I do.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I was talking about like Crystal.
Hell yeah.
I was talking about like Crystal Pepsi, but yeah.
With confidence.
Doplex, I'm kind of curious. Tell me, okay, explain this, because I've never understood this. Okay, lactose intolerant time traveler. First of all, why do you always put that as your bio? And then why are you obsessed with not being able to kickflip?
You know, well, the kickflip thing, that was just like my bio. I think like when I first started my YouTube channel, I just never changed it. And the lactose intolerant thing, it's just true. I don't know. I drink milk and I shit myself.
You're kind of selling yourself with your limitations. You're kind of opening with everything
right.
You can't do.
But
is that like setting an expectation?
Why are you listing like on Twitter, like, here's how I'm worse?
Well, here's the thing, okay? First of all, that's false. It doesn't make me worse, because if anything, it makes me better, because I deal with it, right? Like, I sit down with my cup of coffee, you know, with a little bit of dairy in that.
I can give myself diarrhea on command.
Yeah, and
you're truly the disabled icon that we all need.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
You're the real hero here.
I'm just gonna have to censor all this. That's fine. Well, just swear all you want, guys. At this point,
guys,
it's a loss, guys.
Hey, yo, Laz.
I'll keep it PG-13.
Oh no!
Keep it PG-18.
This song is called Pussy Crisps.
All right, Donovan, can you tell us, just to kind of give a framework here before the rest of the show, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
How
big is your dick?
I'm 3 inches, by the way.
Is it curly like a pigtail?
I don't know. I'm just a random funny guy on the internet. I do comedy, you know, on Twitter, the worst social media platform that's ever existed.
For those of those who don't know what Twitter is, can you explain Twitter?
Yeah. So do you remember like when People at Walmart was a thing, like that website?
Yeah.
All the people that were on that website found Twitter, and they just yell out their opinions out there. And then I just came to that, and I was like, I like it here.
Oh,
that's
okay.
A great f-ing description.
For people who don't know what comedy is, could you tell us a joke?
Dude, you know what? That's the number one thing that I fucking dread when telling people like what I do, because it's happened to me more often than I like.
Oh, they tell you to be funny?
You can't just, like, comedy is so, like, situational, and you can't just, you don't just have them in your back pocket like fucking Christmas crackers.
No, and even if I did, especially the shit that I joke about, like, I can't just casually throw around the jokes that I make.
Yeah. You know what I compare it to is like, okay, if someone's like, oh, you're a comedian, tell me a joke. It's kind of like if you tell someone you're like a chef at a restaurant.
And he's gone.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I think what he was trying to say, it's kind of like when you approach a plastic surgeon
and
you tell them, oh, you're a plastic surgeon, fix my tits.
Yeah, no, it's like there's like setup involved.
Yeah, there's the whole process.
Be in the right place.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't fucking, oh, what do you do? You're a Subway artist? Cool, make me a sandwich right now, please.
Subway artist. Wait, is that actually what they call themselves? Subway artists?
Yeah, no, that is. Yeah, they call them sandwich artists. Sandwich that's like the official
which
title.
Is so degrading. It's like, just say you like a Subway.
Well, my one of my favorite bits that I thought about when I was high, and I'm claiming it, but I'm just, I don't know. It's an easy joke, I feel. I just know I'm the first one that I heard it from.
Right.
But I was like, the implication of Subway calling their employees sandwich artists means that there's a possibility that somebody doesn't get a job there and becomes Sandwich Hitler.
That's so dumb, but yeah.
That's good. If they got rejected from Hamburg University, that place where McDonald's employees go.
So if you like, got a job at McDonald's and they like your job title was Burger Magician, it'd just be like so insulting. Like you're already working for minimum wage and this is just like adding to the pile of shit.
But like you sound kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like when they made the Popeyes cashiers wear the giant biscuit on their head. It's like so fucking stupid.
Oh my God, is that a real thing?
Yeah, there was like I don't think they did it anymore, but it was like, a lot of people were just taking pictures of like people behind the cash register at Popeyes and they just had a giant biscuit on their head. And it was just like, they just looked so over it. So fucking funny.
That's so fucking degrading. Dude, what the fuck?
This is really good.
There's no, you know what? Okay, there is an amount of money, but like the amount of money that they're getting, no, just fuck it. Start an OnlyFans, suck dick. Like IRL, that's more.
Is that your life advice for the podcast?
Yeah.
So just suck dick. I just feel bad when people say like look down on like, oh, he works at McDonald's, you know, like as though, you know, that's like a negative thing. And it's like, have you been to a McDonald's? Like the people those employees have to deal with day in and day out are like some, like you say, the people of Walmart. It's like having to talk to those nonstop every day in a hot kitchen, just like the worst people. It's like you couldn't pay me enough. And like you say, they get paid literally nothing to deal with the dregs of society.
Oh,
meanwhile,
yeah.
I'm like in a cushy office job.
Honestly, like to your point, props to all of those who put themselves in that situation to you know, like make ends meet. Y'all are the real unsung heroes because I hate dealing with those kinds of people. And like to work in a field where you're actively dealing with those kinds of people.
You're literally forced to. It's your job.
Yeah. Props to you.
There's no fucking human way possible. Because, like, depending on how you look at it, I'm privileged enough to not have to work around people in that manner. I don't get paid very much, but you know what? From the story I hear, like, from all my friends that have ever worked retail or anything to that degree, fast food, I would lose my job first day. I know I fucking would. There's no fucking way.
Well, so here's kind of how I feel about it. So there's the initial abiogenesis of the planet, right? Which is that the atoms and molecules and elements arrange themselves in a certain way that we have the miracle of life, right?
Uh-huh.
And then over billions of years, mutations cause it to evolve, and eventually we get out of the primordial soup.
Yeah.
And we walk on land for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then through just a bunch more miracles, we're somehow able to evolve into this complex, intelligent species that, you know, has the capability of fire and the capability of language and the capability of civilization. And it's ended up like some Karen, like wondering why they don't have three pickles instead of two on their hamburger. Yeah. You know, it's like...
That's where
like
we go.
That's where life brought you.
Where did we go wrong is the question.
The actual like miracle that is existence, whether you think of it as a religious or scientific, you know, achievement, is so astronomically huge that you complaining that the ice cream machine is broken just seems like a bit of a bitch move.
Yeah.
Just be thankful you're alive.
Yeah, that's the thing. We didn't get eaten today.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
that's a real concern for most animals. It's like, right, they're going to die.
Yeah.
Today. You can walk into a McDonald's and just slam like $3 on the counter, and you've just got, you've provided for yourself. You haven't had to like swim through like a forest and it's like, yeah, tear a deer to your ground with your bare hands or something.
And that's why I think morbid obesity is a good thing.
Oh.
Welcome to my TED Talk.
It's a good thing. It's great. That's a sign of, that's such a good issue to have.
Yeah.
Like driving ourselves to extinction because we've done so well.
That's what it is. You just said it perfectly. We're doing so well as a fucking species that our main problem is that we eat too much food. Where at one point in time it was like, dude, we didn't have any. And we would have to hunt a mammoth as a team.
We should go back.
You eat once every 3 days if you're lucky.
I've heard, by the way, that humanity's like original trait before we became like an intelligent civilization was distance running. So what they would do is they would chase like a cheetah or a bear for like 17 hours with a spear, and then eventually it would get tired out and you'd kill it. So that's where we're coming from.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
We've made it pretty far.
Yeah.
I think it's that's why a lot of like horror movies are really kind of rooted in that, just this sense of like something following you, because it's sort of like it's like an instinctual thing, kind of, because like that's how we would hunt other animals, is because most animals are like what they call sprinters or whatever. Like we're distance runners. We sweat and we can just run for ages until the animal gets tired and kill it. Whereas like a deer or whatever can just jits it for, you know, half an hour and then they tuck it out. It's the idea of this thing just slowly like chasing after you. It's not super fast, but it's not going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
No, for sure. It's kind of the same line of why I don't play horror video games either.
Just because it reminds you of our struggles.
I've got the fortitude of like a wet fish. So the idea of trying to play Five Nights at Freddy's, like I'd get to one jump scare and just fucking delete my whole computer.
So my whole thing is like I'm sorry, go ahead. I do not mean...
Let the guest talk, Doplex.
No, please. Go ahead. I was going to bring up some stupid-ass bullshit about the KFC console.
Well, no, so we'll tie it in. My piece on horror games is I don't play them because I feel like it's desensitizing us from our lizard brain, right? Like, it's instinct that you're fighting against during this whole game. It, like, being fearful, you know, that's not a bad feeling. You naturally you get scared because you're like, I want to live. I'm not trying to fuck around and die. But a game, you have to confront those fears, you know, to progress further if you want to beat the game.
Right.
And so I feel like horror games are gonna be the death of humanity.
That's interesting. The idea of kind of like cucking our own security as like an intelligent species, like
cucking our own security.
We used to have these struggles every day, and now it's like we're like recreating them in a video game format.
Like, it's just something to fuck around and play with, but like, it's different from a horror movie. I love horror movies because it's like a ride.
Yeah. It's like a zoo of human emotions. It's like, here, we used to just have this in the wild, but now let's just put it in a little box and you can go and look at that when you feel like it and get scared and then just go back to your normal life. You don't have to be like lying in a swamp hoping that a fucking gator is gonna like come and munch on your legs or something.
Exactly.
Right.
Like the KFC council.
I wonder if we'll ever get to a point as a society where we face some crazy ass fiery heat death to the planet where all of our grids are wiped, all of our luxuries as we know them are wiped. Mm-hmm. All of our societal improvements, right? Like everything is just gone. Do you think that if we had to revert back to a point where we had to like hunt for our own food, we had to like go out and like, you know, fucking rape and pillage other villages just to get one over, you know, just to become the superior human? Do you think we'd be better at it now that we've been more so desensitized to it with video games and movies?
So wait, you're not raping and pillaging?
Well, you know, you are. You're at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were all like doing right it now. Still.
Right.
I feel this is kind of rude to ask Donovan, because like he would have a lot of trouble in that situation.
I don't know what you're talking about, because I disagree entirely.
Oh, really?
I'm playing the psychological game.
Oh.
Right? Okay.
Like, I'm doing what this is going to be extremely dated, but did you guys ever at any point in the earlier years fuck with The Walking Dead?
Yeah, I
really liked it for the first few ones.
Do you remember Mullet Dude that was like, I don't care?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I would be doing. I would be lying my ass off and wasted in order to survive.
Right.
I was
going
to say that, like, if you know, I could totally see you, before you even brought up The Walking Dead, I was going to say I could see you being like the reveal that you're secretly the leader of some, like, doomsday cult thing and like a Walking Dead. You know, like, or like that guy with the eye patch. I can't remember his name. But, like, you'd see this like, society that's being run, and it's, like, kind of pristine and clean and everything's good, but there's, like, this dark underbelly.
That's me.
Like, secretly running the things, and that's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. That, I feel like that'd be the good character to be during, like, a zombie apocalypse. You know? You fool others, bring them in, and then you eat them.
It's absolutely the better. It's the best option, because it's, like, you can be an excellent hunter. You can be a good, I don't know, anything. But it doesn't matter if you're getting manipulated.
Right. That's true. That's what we're doing here. That's what this podcast is. All of our previous guests are all dead now. I shouldn't have revealed
To answer your question, I feel like we would not be better. I don't feel like we're properly desensitized. Like, we watch fucked up stuff, but we, for the most part, now it's fake unless you're like trolling Live Leak or 4chan or something. You know, back in like medieval times, you just like, people would just die. You just see dead people in the street every day, like actual dead people. And
that,
like,
was my life in Mexico.
Be killed. Well, exactly. Yeah. Do you want to tell us some fucking stories of that?
Yeah, dude. I straight up, you see like fucking, like when it rained, one time I legit saw a body just floating down the gutter.
That's fucking.
You sure it wasn't just a really sleepy man?
Wait, what'd you say?
Sure, it wasn't just a very sleepy man. Just riding the water.
It's the old man that bumped his head.
Oh, like, he has somewhere to go, but it's like downhill from where he lives, so he's just taking a nap.
Yeah,
yeah, he's like, it's like when you fall asleep on the train and just hope you get to the right destination.
Right. Well, no, because the police were poking him with a stick.
Oh!
would the police issue stick? Do they not have something to do?
Sure. Yeah.
This really says something about the Mexican police, where like they don't have a baton, they just have to use a stick.
Yeah.
But it's, to be fair, like Mexico City Police Department, like scrawled into the side of it or something.
Except rocks and sticks as weapons.
I feel there's something wrong, because the idea of a dead body just floating in a gutter, like past me, as like I'm waiting for it, just fucking really tickles me in a way that it shouldn't.
Yeah.
Just, well, there he goes. Didn't you say you were going to an internet cafe and like some cartel guys like shot it up or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The internet cafe that I used to frequent, because I lived in Mexico during like the height, because I lived in TJ, the, you know, Tijuana podcast.
But actually.
Hey, fucker.
Hey, fucker. Thank you, Lars. So I lived in TJ during like the height of like the crazy cartel wars or whatever the fuck that was going on in like the late 2000s.
Oh, you're Pablo Escobar.
I am Pablo Escobar. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Even though he's totally not from Mexico.
Yeah.
Got him.
But yeah, the internet cafe that I used to frequent, I was like on my way there and I like stopped for some reason. Like I didn't go. And they ended up like shooting that place up and killing everyone inside, which is fucking insane.
Wait, were you there when that happened?
Well, I was
the shooters.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm recording this from a Mexican prison cell as we speak.
Okay, dude.
No, I walked there like later that day, like maybe an hour later or something. And like there were just bullet holes fucking littered throughout the wall.
Jeez.
And just cops.
Did you have like a Final Destination moment?
Yeah, pretty much.
You're like, I shouldn't go today.
Did they still let you use the computer?
No.
Can I get a discount?
Just walk in.
Pretend nothing's wrong.
Yeah, they're still going to run a business. Yeah,
I grab a can of Sprite with a very obvious bullet hole in it.
Yeah.
This is fine.
Yeah, good times.
Actually, speaking of Pablo Escobar, I thought this is weird. There's a place I saw in town here in Melbourne, Australia, where it's called Pablo Escobine, and it's like a cafe. And I'm like,
that's kind of cool,
but I just find it interesting where, and I'm sure you can relate to this, Donovan, where like, you know, the general public, I think, is quite sensitive when it comes to, say, dark humor or edgy jokes. But then I've had two examples of, say, that in business names. One of them was Pablo Escobar, which is like kind of funny, kind of cute, but then it's also Pablo Escobar who fucking ruined like hundreds of thousands of lives. And there's another one. There's a food truck down Southside called Dingo Ate My Taco, which if you don't know is obviously a play on words of the dingo ate my baby.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
And the thing is, like, Dingo Ate My Baby is like a joke that everyone in the world is like on board with. But a woman, yeah. A woman's baby was literally killed by a dingo. And it's just funny because the word dingo is silly and it sounds very Australian. But it's right. Like, and now there's like a food cart where literally in Australia as well, where it happened, called, you know, it'd be like if you made a food truck about like the Columbine Massacre. I mean, well, a little different, obviously.
What would you call it? Hold on, before we progress, what would you call that?
Yeah.
Taco bomb didn't go off in the cafeteria. I don't know. But it's like, it's just interesting that it's like, that's just like an acceptable. Everyone's just like, yeah, that's fine. Have a taco cart named after this woman's like loss of her infant's child. Like, eh, whatever, right. Fuck it.
Do you think she eats there? Gets discounts?
Do you think some of that is like, that it just, something gets kind of lost in translation in terms of how serious it's supposed to be? Like, I know that some other countries like are not as sensitive to some of the American things that we've gone through, like, I don't know, like
9/11
racial issues and stuff that they don't really have in other countries. Yeah. They may not, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get that. But it's like, well, I mean, losing a child, I think, is always like, that's a universally sad thing to have happen.
Right.
And just because it was like, the thing, if you don't know what happened, a woman's baby went missing at like a camping trip, and then everyone thought it was the woman, like the mum had killed it or something. I don't really think they had any evidence, but they were like, well, this must be what it is. And she said a dingo had killed it, which is like a weird dog animal in Australia. And they couldn't find any proof. So she went to prison for like 2 or 3 years. And then just some guy stumbled upon a dingo den near that campsite and found like baby clothes in it or something, you know, like tatters of this infant's clothes. And they reopened the case and like the DNA test, and it turns out that, yeah, dingo had actually eaten this woman's baby like years ago. And so she got released.
That's dark.
But it was just this weird, like, I guess because everyone thought it was her, and her excuse was so weird and wacky and Australian,
right,
that it took off as a meme around the world. So this woman like now just gets to be reminded regularly that she lost her child.
Well, I was going to say, can you imagine being that woman, like losing your child, going to prison through no fault of your own, and then coming out and everyone's making fun of you for the foreseeable future?
Like, the entire world is just like, again, which is usually so sensitive to so many, you know, issues and edgy humor and everything, but someone, for some reason, the entire planet has just decided like, this is funny. This is, and it is kind of funny. It's just weird that like everyone decided that collectively that's okay.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest. I mean, the just like objectively speaking, that's funny. Like, the idea that like a dingo ate your baby is humorous. I think it's like the casualness of like a wacky animal versus like the mortality of death. Yeah. There's objectively comedy in there. I feel like, I don't know, even if like I was that mother, like, I feel like I could appreciate like the setup of it. Like, it's, well, it's funny. I mean,
so Donovan, like, you've been in the news lately, because of some of your, jokes about Eric Clapton's, child. Eric Clapton's flightless child, and some people got really upset about that, but that's like an identical thing. Like, they lost a child through an accident, but for some reason, like, a lot of people have been really mad at I guess the jokes you've been telling about that from one of the articles.
Yeah, do you want to tell us about that? Like, obviously for people listening, like, they haven't seen this. Do you want to give us a recap?
Yeah, so I saw a tweet that was pretty much announcing that Eric Clapton and Van Morrison had collaborated together to make a anti-lockdown song, because if anybody needs to make a strong stance about how negatively the pandemic is affecting them, it's, you know, rich rock stars.
Right.
$1 million musicians.
They're the ones taking it the worst. So they needed their voice to be heard.
Of course.
So they made an anti-lockdown song, and I just thought it was really funny that out of all people, Eric Clapton is the one who is against keeping people safe and inside. you know. Like,
which is a great joke because Eric Clapton's child fell out of a window.
Exactly.
And that was the...
A 53-story window, I believe.
That's the bit. Yeah. That's the joke. And,
yeah.
A lot, there was a... I mean, I knew what I was doing, obviously, but above everything, right. It was a fucking joke, you know? And, yeah, no, there was a lot of people that shockingly didn't like that.
It's not just a joke, by the way, though. It's also like there's a separate class of jokes that I've been kind of getting my headspace into recently, which is the concept of the Twitter joke, which is very different from like a regular joke.
It can be, yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, it's like a Twitter joke is nesting on top of six layers of irony. It's like, it's supposed to be offensive, but also in a winking way where it's like, obviously by saying this offensive thing, I'm not being offensive for some reason.
Right.
And it's like, and nothing means anything. And like, it's kind of like this weird hellscape of like post-apocalyptic comedy. And I do like it, but I can see how the outsiders wouldn't like it as much.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I feel like the only people who would get mad at it is people who aren't really in on, it's kind of cringy to say Twitter culture, but who really aren't in on Twitter culture, you know? And because like everything is, for the most part, everything is kind of ironic, right? Like, you know, whatever joke you make, it's just, for the most part, it's kind of just throwaway tweets. Just like a fart in your brain, you just pop it onto your fucking phone and send it up. But it's just weird that people do get like extremely pissed at shit like this. And I do want to ask you about that, because like, I feel like you've kind of had this happen a few times where people, you'll say something, you'll tweet something, and people will just get like they'll roll their foreskins like a booger out of pure anger.
Yeah.
how do you do it? How do you live with yourself?
How do you sleep at night?
In my bed with at least like fucking 25 milligrams of weed in my system. But I don't know, like I don't ever intentionally do anything to purposefully piss people off. It's just kind of a side effect of my, I guess, humor. That, I mean, it's different. I'm not just like the asshole for, you know, the sake of being an asshole. At least I don't think I am, but I guess it depends on who you ask, but anyways, you I don't know. It's just people, especially now, you know, and it's a cliche to say, but right now it's just people are a lot more on edge and they're not looking to laugh. They're looking to be angry.
Yeah.
I think that's an important distinction to make with what you said about how you don't set out to be offensive. You just set out to be funny. And if it happens to be offensive, then it's like, well, oh, well, versus say someone who's like clearly trying to offend first and then pass it off as like, oh no, I was just joking.
Exactly. 100%. That's the biggest thing, is that above everything else, I want it to be funny. You know, like I'm not just, you know, I'm not a 13-year-old jumping into a Discord server and shouting the N-word and then leaving and then thinking, ha ha ha, comedy gold.
Hey, you know what's funny? I think that whole situation of you making a joke about Eric Clapton's son falling out of a window and having people get offended, like that is like the perfect example of how people get offended on others, like other people's behalf.
Yeah.
Because like, how many of those people that were mad at you actually had their child fall out of a window? And like, were they actually directly affected?
Also, does Eric Clapton even have a fucking Twitter?
No,
does he have a Twitter and does he follow
Crip? Like, that's like, why,
quick delete this. He's going to see it.
That's why it was so fucking funny, because you're right. Like, I know for a fact every person that was upset with that joke, at least that replied to me, were for some reason, well, I know the reason now, were British conservative people.
Oh, right. Those are the worst.
Because I ended up in some. Fucking, I'd never even heard of this place, but apparently it's like a well-known established where Milo got his start.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Wait, who's that?
Milo
Yiannopoulos.
That's the one. I don't know how to fucking pronounce that name.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows how to
pronounce who that is.
Milo was this, he was like this conservative kind of provocateur back in the day. His entire gimmick is that he was a gay conservative.
Yeah, it's his shit.
And that was kind of like, it was his gimmick, but also it was kind of like his entire identity is like, I'm gay, therefore I can say conservative stuff, but I'm gay. So it's like, oh, now I get to be the token for the side. Cause like, yeah. Oh, now they have a gay. It was kind of like the,
yeah. Apparently this website that made the article that I'm referencing was where he got his start. And, they made my joke, really out to be me being angry and like as if it was my way of shaming of Eric Clapton for doing this, but like I could give a fuck what he does.
Right.
I really don't care. It was honestly a joke, but people heard it and saw it in that and were like, oh, he's just a libtard. So, and that's my point, is that it was funny.
Well, when did the whole window thing even happen? Like, was this,
it was
back
like
in, like,
fuck, that was 91, I think.
Oh.
So we weren't even alive.
No, and that's the thing. His fucking kid would have been old enough now to have his own kid fall out of the fucking window. I think right. It's okay to joke about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of people make 9/11 jokes, right? And that happened
all the time.
After that. But so it's weird that like an event that a bunch of people died is okay to make fun of, but a dude just not securing his window isn't. That's
And this is a very common occurrence.
I kind of came around when it comes to like 9/11 stuff. I make some jokes here and there. I didn't do it too often, but then
it's low hanging.
Now this year when 9/11 is like equivalent to last Tuesday in terms of deaths, right, because of the virus, it's like by comparison, I just like, it was a problem at the time and a national tragedy, but it's like, never forget.
When is there going to be a 9/11 taco truck is what I'm saying. And what would it
yeah,
be?
That's what we need to be doing.
The twin tacos.
That's terrible.
It's just crashing
the logo
to flavor.
Is just two like burritos standing up and like an avocado flying early towards them.
Stop.
My favorite one for, I know this has probably been posted to death, by the way, but
the Subway one?
Yeah, it's just so, it's so offensive.
It can't
that,
be
like, I just,
that's not real, right?
Well, wait. It's from The Onion.
Oh, sure.
Where did you post it?
Here, I'll put it in the chat.
Oh, okay.
Won't be linking to that image or putting it in the render for obvious reasons. You can find it on Google.
Yeah, it's just, like, so ridiculously over-the-top offensive that it's funny again.
You will never forget this
deal.
There
is that one video that is real, though. And it's have you seen it's the mattress one? And it's like, there's like a woman and two guys standing either side of her and there's two mattresses behind them. And it was something like the 9/11 special. And it was pretty much like that Subway image, but for mattresses. And she like, she like pretends, she like swings her arms out and pretends to hit them and both of them go, whoa, and like pratfall backwards, knocking the mattresses over. I'm not joking. This is real. You can look it up. And then at the end, they suddenly get really serious, and she's like, "We will never forget." And then that's the ad. It's really weird. But that's real. That actually happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll ever get to a point? And like, because I'm fresh out of Cyberpunk 2077, and I know like games like GTA do this, but like, do you ever think we'll get to that point that like stereotypical open world advertising, you know, where everything is just kind of like a parody of itself, and it's just like like very,
what I liked about,
you know,
Cyberpunk is that it was kind of like taking that sex sells kind of desensitization to, you
oh
know,
right,
sex and porn and nudity, and like pushing that to its extreme. So it's like, yeah, if we continue as we are now with just how openly, you know, brazen people are with that, I'm saying it's good or bad, just, you know, it is what it is. But it's kind of like, in 50 years, will that just be advertising? Will advertisements pretty much just be porn? Because they're like, it's just,
yeah, I fucking,
you know,
hope so.
That'd be sick.
Be cool.
That'd be great. That's fucking awesome. You know what, man? You've been full of good ideas. This entire podcast, you got the 9/11 taco truck. You got straight up porn advertisement. You're going places. You should think about going on fucking Shark Tank.
Yeah, we should. We should all start like a marketing company.
Yeah.
What is it? What is in Australia? What is the shark? Is it like Kangaroo Bazaar or something? Or what is
dingo
it?
Dingo box.
Dingo box.
Oh, I can't. You're entering the dingo box.
We actually have a lot of sharks here, and probably more than you. So I think, if anything, you're the imposter here. What's your one?
In Illinois, fucking deer. I guess
deer hole.
We have mountain lions, but they're not like a super prominent issue. Hitting deers is usually more common.
That's awesome.
Have you ever hit a deer?
Me personally.
Have you ever wanted to?
Or have you ever been in like a vehicle that hit a deer?
No, not yet. But like, I'm really hoping it'll happen once. I just want the experience. I feel like I haven't earned my true Midwestern like fucking stripes until I have.
Right.
I hear it fucks up your car.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there you go. There's a question. What car crashes has everyone been in?
Top 10 car crashes.
Wait, what?
I'm cursing myself now, but I haven't been in one.
Oh.
I was in one like, I don't know, like 6 or 7 years ago where I was turning left on a green arrow and someone came through.
And it's a classic.
It totaled my car.
Oh,
it sucked.
Shit. Did you hurt?
Survive?
Did I survive? No.
Did you survive?
This is the ghost of Lasmus past.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah.
Car crashes aren't fun.
My buddy stole a car and didn't tell me it was stolen. So I got in it and we got T-boned.
What the fuck?
Is that what it's called? T-bone when the car hits you from the side? Well, it was our friend's
car.
Yeah.
On the back.
Yeah. No, I know that's rear-ended. It was, no, we got T-boned. Like we were turning and a car hit us from the side.
Okay, I got you. Got you.
Yeah, but
are we still talking about cars?
Yeah. We're talking about car accidents, right? Okay. Watch Mojo top 10 car crashes. Yeah. No, it was our friend's car, but he wasn't supposed to take it, but he did.
Oh sure, you said stolen car.
We've all been there,
right?
I've only been in two. One of them was I used to have to catch a bus between my mum's house and my dad's house each weekend. Like my mum was in the country, and my dad lived in the city, and it was like the middle of winter, and the road was real icy in one part. And it was not a bus; it was a van, and they turned going around the thing, and we flipped on the side and skidded all the way up the road.
Oh fuck!
And it was kind of crazy.
Just to clarify, in Australian language, what's a van? What do you consider a van?
Wait, what? Fucking, I don't know, like a square car with like
square
six or eight seats in the van. What the fuck do you call
it? Wait, you guys are at fucking circle cars in Australia?
Yeah, we got that car that Homer designed with the domes.
Yeah.
What do you guys call them?
Do you think we'll ever have... they're just called vans here. I think Lars is just fucking with you for your weird transatlantic dialect.
There is differences between like American and British and Australian terms for stuff that doesn't make any sense, like chips in British or fries for some reason.
Right, yeah.
Well, crisps.
Yeah, are there any words in Australia or New Zealand that like just make no fucking sense to an American?
That they say.
Yeah, probably a lot of shit. The biggest the one I always have to be aware of is like colloquially we say yeah nah and nah yeah, and you have to remember that in response to something.
No, we kind of do that too.
Yeah, we do that too.
Get caught
especially
up in
here
sometimes.
In California.
Yeah, yeah, nah.
I always thought it was really funny the comparison between British English and American English when it comes to the following phrase, because in America we would say bag of chips, and in British they say a packet of crisps. So the contrast was really amusing.
Packet of crisps.
Hearing you say it like that made me want to bully you.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the point. That's what I'm saying.
That's just the normal human reaction.
Yeah.
So in New Zealand, we've got this really smart method where we just call everything that's made of potatoes chips. So it doesn't matter if it's crisps or French fries or fucking, you just say it's chips.
Oh, that's really ambiguous. Oh.
You either call it hot, like you say hot chips if you mean like fries. That's about it.
Well, see, hot chips here are like hot Cheetos and like hot fries.
So we've only just started to get those in New Zealand because I believe those were started because of the Spanish influence in the States. But I think New Zealand has one Spanish guy that we share around, so I don't think we quite have the we don't quite have the market for them. But they're starting to get more popular, which is great because I love like Mexican food and Mexican people like Doplex. Do you guys see that picture of Trump?
And Donovan?
And Donovan.
Wait, what?
I am Mexican too.
Holy shit.
getting outnumbered, kudos.
I'm talking
hey, to you. This is officially the Tijuana podcast.
I have to go back to New Zealand and reveal all my new insights that I've got. I think I'm the first Kiwi to talk to two Mexicans at once.
Oh, nice.
Kudos just pulls up like a milk crate and stands on top of it and just shouts,
"Hey, hey!
I have spoken to two Mexicans."
You know, we were talking a couple podcasts ago about how like the Guinness Book of World Records are getting really specific at this point to keep including new ones. I feel like you could probably apply for that. Like the New Zealander who's speaking to the most Mexicans at once, you could probably get the...
That is probably a record you could get.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. The Kiwi Book of Records. The Kiwi Book of Records would be really quaint. It would just be really like simple shit. Probably something to do with tractors or something.
Yeah. Well, I don't know New Zealand enough to like agree with that, but I'm assuming I'll take your word for it.
Pretty much imagine a place where nothing much happens, but it's kind of nice. You probably got some states that are like that.
Right.
It's that.
I kind of prefer the opposite where it's just like constant chaos.
Florida. Like when Dopex was in Tijuana.
Yeah.
Except maybe not like the bodies rolling down the street during a thunderstorm kind of chaos.
Come Chicago.
Did you do the like the classic RPG thing and check his pockets for any loose change or
I looted the body.
Yeah.
Do you ever think how scummy it would be to actually loot a body? Like going rifling through someone, like some dead guy's pockets and shit?
Yeah, what do you mean? If I kill them, that's my shit now.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, according to jungle, law, that's yours.
That is the nature of how it works. If I kill you, anything on your person is now mine.
That is true.
I mean, like if you're in the Doplex sense where you're walking down the street to get some Taco Bell or whatever that in Tijuana. And then
I think I remember reading an article about how Taco Bell tried to open up in Mexico and everybody was like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
They marketed it as American food, apparently. Like they didn't say like, "Here's some Mexican food." They're like, "Here's authentic American food." It flopped. Because why the fuck would you go to Taco Bell when there's so much better shit around?
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, what if you're like in a Dopex situation where you're just walking down the street and you just find a dead body being washed down a gutter? Would you loot that? Because you didn't kill it. So it's not technically your property, but he might have like $2 on it.
I'm going to check to see like who's this person? Is there a way I can help? And if there just happens to be like $100, you know, maybe that fell out somewhere. Right.
Well, it's fee for your services for trying to do CPR and like.
Maybe he's got a cool audio log on him that explains like his history or something.
Yeah, exactly.
His backstory of how he got there.
Yeah.
And it's perfectly recorded to like the last minute of his life.
I feel like modern video games have really misled the public in terms of like how many fucking audio logs there are out there. Like,
and he's gone.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck this.
I got borked.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm back.
You good?
I agree to an extent, Lars, but then also, have you ever realized how much people just record? Case in point, this whole podcast. But you realize how much people just record really dumb shit, like completely unprompted.
Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous, but kind of not.
That's literally YouTube.
It's literally YouTube. Yeah.
Well, I think to what Lars is trying to say, which I agree, because for me, I get it. It's to like build on immersion in video games where it's like you find like a tape and it's just like,
Yeah.
It's just like, who the fuck would do this? Who would just sit there and record shit?
But that's what I'm saying is I think a surprising amount of people would. Like, you know, okay, money to the first video game that does that where they make like someone recording some bullshit like that, but it's for like a YouTube channel type thing where it's like, "Hey guys, what's up? Over here is where I've been storing all my money." And like, like you have to watch some fake YouTube video and the guy shows like you like the safe code in it.
I'd fucking hate that.
I feel like it'd be better.
It'd be more realistic.
Yeah, think about it. Like, what is up, gamers? So I killed my wife. She's in here. And it's like a game where you're playing a detective and you have to watch this fucking cringy ass vlog to find out where the body is.
Watch Dogs kind of did it, but like, how long until there's a video game where it's kind of like a slightly quirky video game, like Watch Dogs 2, where the main villain is like a Jake Paul type, whereas this like charismatic but like kind of douchey YouTube guy, and right. like he's the villain who's like taunting you through YouTube videos throughout the whole game. That'd be awful. That would actually be the best villain.
I guarantee you that you just laid out the plot to the next Far Cry game.
Yeah. Or even yeah. GTA, oh, the next yeah. GTA. I can see GTA 6 GTA, doing some yeah. shit like that.
Yeah. Do you reckon they'll ever actually release GTA 6? I was talking to someone about that yesterday. Like, why would they at this point? They're making so much money off GTA Online. It's because just going to kill it.
Have you? Okay, here's a question for you. A question for all of you. Have you guys played GTA 5 story mode recently?
Recently?
Nope. Yeah.
Like,
nah, not since it came out in like 2013.
Like, the last year. Like, have you just, like,
no,
played?
No, no.
Oh, okay. Nah. Well, nah. Here's the thing, right? The game was made in 2013, right? And even before then, or the game was released in 2013. Even before then, it was in development for God knows how long. They tried to capitalize on, like, the whole current day thing, which makes it feel so fucking outdated. Like, for one, it's just a lot of, like, I'm going to take a selfie. I'm here walking man. With my selfie stick. It's like a lot of like yeah. that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even so, like online, there's so many outfits. Like there's literally entire outfits that are like hipster stuff with like the suspenders right. and the fucking
the man
fedoras
buns.
And like the wacky glasses and mustaches and shit. It's only, yeah, like you say, it's only like 7 years old, but it's aged so badly because no one does the hipster thing anymore.
Right. Yeah. It's literally 2012 Facebook the video game.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of accurate though, I guess, to the time. Like, it's an interesting time capsule.
It was a good pastiche of the current time period, but then just the fact that the game has lingered for so long with online and
that's what made me kind of, I guess, apprehensive about the feeling 100% good about the new Borat movie. that's gonna be dated as shit.
Yeah,
like, I mean, give it a year or two, however long. At some point, the second half of that movie is just gonna be pointless and kind of like, oh yeah,
yeah.
Where like the first Borat movie, timeless. You can watch that now, still great.
Anything that like has anything to do with COVID or they put, you know, just anything like that. Where that's written in as a plot point of like an episode of a TV show or as like a joke or something, that's just I'm already over it. So like you say, in like 2 years, when it's like, oh yeah, that was made during COVID, like obviously it's
it feels outdated.
It was kind of serendipitous though, because yeah, it's going to become kind of outdated as a movie, but it was like really timely of a thing to happen for the movie, and it made it more interesting, I think.
Yeah,
in some ways,
in that moment, like for sure,
yeah.
It's like how South Park can get an episode out really quick, and you're like, damn, they got that out quick. Like, that's, you know, it's just that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Also, it's like, for not to get political, but it's forever proof that Rudy Giuliani's a piece of shit. Like, just forever.
Just video evidence. He's a rational human being with a good brain.
It's kind of sexy.
Yeah.
I like how it leaks.
Anyway, let's not talk about politics.
No, let's talk about politics. Well, all right, everybody, who did you vote for?
While we transition, by the way, Doplex, can we have a song?
Sure. Give me a topic.
Doplex.
Politics.
Politics. All right.
Yeah, politics.
This one's called Who I Voted For. Standing in line. I really want that sticker for fake internet points so I can take a picture. I voted. I voted. I voted. I voted for the 2002 Nickelodeon's Teen Choice Awards for the best lip lock, Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, that was hot.
Yes!
Nice. Nice.
My man.
Thank you.
We talk about Dan Schneider's foot fetish.
What? Hold on one second. Donovan, there's something that we haven't really done at all this episode, which is talk about the guest.
Talk about the Dan Schneider's foot fetish?
Maybe we should.
Yeah, the guest.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that Donovan's just kind of fitting in here as like a natural kind of guest host almost, but like we should talk about what you do.
I pride myself on that. I like to be able to chameleon myself with people. Mm-hmm.
I have a question that's directed towards you.
That's fun.
That could kind of.
What the hell's going on over there, Kudos?
I think my building's on fire.
Oh,
do we have to evacuate? What is happening? I guess I'll be back. Bye.
Oh.
All right. Okay.
That's awesome.
So, Kudos died. Anyway, my question was, how does it feel to be funnier than Ricky Berwick? And how do you feel about the Rule 34s of you two together?
I have a follow-up to add on to that. Please answer both at once. How does it feel to be like the funny disabled guy that's like the more handsome one?
Well,
also a good question.
It's kind of like being the smartest kid in the special ed class. Like, like you can brag about it if you want, but like, why you shouldn't? But I mean, I don't know. I like that I can feel more confident in my ability to make people laugh and not feel like they need to get away from me. Like, they also need to take a hot shower after watching one of my videos.
Right. Yeah, you've never had to put a cookie in your ass.
I actually haven't had to do that, thank God.
Yeah. I mean, it's never too late, obviously, but...
What I do in my private time is what I do in my private time. Like,
right.
You know, Louis C.K., he jacks off in front of people. Me, I put cookies in my ass to stimulate my prostate. But that right. I don't off record camera. Myself doing it. I'm not gross.
Yeah. That'll be something, like, once you're really deep in your comedic career, once you're, like, in your 40s,
yeah,
then you can really kind of experiment. Yeah.
Yeah.
So... I'm kind of curious, what is it that you actually have, by the way?
AIDS.
Hell yeah.
Oh, okay.
No,
he has a huge cock, Lars.
I have a disease called spinal muscular atrophy type 2. Uh-huh.
Okay, and can you still play video games with that?
I love to play VR games, ones that like,
oh, okay.
I like Dance Dance Revolution a lot. Mm-hmm. Stuff that's really focused on like legs is kind of my forte. I'm really good at it, like stupid good. I could go pro, but right. It's just not fair to everybody else from how good I am at it.
Yeah, it's just like the cookie in the ass thing. You're keeping that off camera. You don't want people to know about your skills.
I'm a humble man at the end of the day. Like, I try to be, you know?
Right. And I respect that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I hope Kudos is okay, by the way.
I'm thinking in the back of my head, like, he's just burning to death. He's dead, that's it.
He's just on fire doing that, like... That,
it's also weird, like, his building sounded like a prison or something.
Yeah, I
like,
thought that same thing.
So where are you recording this from, bud?
I mind your business.
From prison.
I know that some of that has informed you actually have a podcast yourself, right?
I do, yes.
Can you tell us what that is and kind of what the premise is of it?
Yeah, so I have a podcast with my mom called Crip in the Cradle.
Mm.
And basically, I guess it's just, you know, me and my mom riffing on each other and discussing whatever. I'm not really a professional at anything. I am a one-man operating machine. And me and my mom have pretty good banter, and I'd be lying to you if I told you we went in with like a game plan. I just thought it'd be funny to shit on my mom for an hour and then have it online to look back on when one of us dies.
Right. Well, that's why we do this podcast, so I can look back on once Lars dies.
Yeah. I feel like that's, I think about that a lot. In a weird, morbid way, because I almost die every year. It's just a tradition I like to keep up. Like, I just am on my deathbed at any given moment.
Kind of like Gigi Allen.
Exactly, yeah. And so I kind of record things, and whenever I'm doing anything, I have that thought at some point, like, what if I died and this is, like, the last thing?
Right.
That's it, you know? In years from now, whenever my like friends have kids, or like my brothers have children, and they can be like, yeah, this was, you know, Donovan, and they show me just calling Ricky a fucking retard.
I think that's kind of interesting, because, like, there's this sort of, like, implied gallows humor in a lot of the stuff that you say.
Yeah.
That makes it funnier. I think that, like, that helps comedy in that sense.
Oh, for sure.
Kudo says someone set up the fire alarm while they're cooking, so it was a false. It was a false positive.
That,
should we wait till he gets back or keep going?
Well, I want to ask Donovan to kind of to that point. I do want to say, like, and I'm sure you've probably heard this like a million times, but like, even though you do tend to like make fun of yourself and your disability, I'm sure that you're giving, I guess, confidence to others, you know, with who have like not the same condition, but like similar conditions, because like a lot of people, like they tend to like, you know, it almost like from the outside looking in, like, you know, to somebody who does suffer from like a disability, you know, you do think about like, oh, they can't do the same things that like other people can do, but you kind of like, I don't want to like, cause it sounds like corny. Like you're like, oh, you're, you know, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like you kind of, you get more confidence.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah. You are an inspiration.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. And I'm trying to say that without being corny. Yeah.
No, I get it. I understand. I get people shit that do it for like the sake of making themselves feel better, because it does happen. I know when it's coming from a genuine place versus, you know, what I think I talked about it not too long ago, where it's just you misplacing your own shitty life and trying to say, well, at least I'm not that guy. When it's like, no, your life is equally shitty, if not more shitty, trust me.
Yeah.
And that's why you're projecting and saying, oh, you look at this little Down syndrome kid that, you know, is trying his best to learn how to paint. Like, he's so adorable. And it's like, fuck you. No, whatever. Your life sucks. Deal with it. Sorry, it's a hybrid. The whole inspiration thing is, it's weird, but I, because I never really sought out to be, you know, it's not like I don't try and be anybody's hero. I try to just be as comfortable with myself as I can. And if, people can take something from that, then like, that's cool. You know, I'm not telling you, you can't, it feels nice. But I often worry at some point, like, I'm going to let you all down. Because I am a piece of shit, trust me.
But that kind of adds to your character, though. I don't know. It's just like it because I've been following you on Twitter for a long time, years, and like you know, it's been kind of cool just to see, like, at first it's like, oh, like, you know, this dude's like kind of entering that whole, I guess you can call it kind of like the commentary sphere of like that section of like content creators, and, you know, obviously holding your own and being funny in your own way. And it's like, you've kind of like made other people with disabilities feel comfortable enough to come forward and like do this sort of thing as well, which is kind of fucking cool. I don't know. That's pretty awesome. That, like, it kind of in like a weird way connects people together. Lars, play some somber music when I say that.
Okay. I'll put it in post.
It feels weird though. Cause I don't know. Maybe it's just, I remember my grandpa having a conversation with my mom when they diagnosed me with my disease, when I was like really young. And, she sat me down in her apartment and turned on the TV, and she went in the room to just like fucking cry, you know, cause she was a young teenage mom, single at that, and now she learns she has a fucking broken child. So that's a lot to process.
Right.
And my grandpa, he went to go like have a sit-down powwow and was like, don't stop being a fucking bitch. Go out there and treat your son like any other kid. Raise him the way you would, because he's not going to be treated any differently. And you shouldn't treat him any different either. The world's a fucking cruel, hard place, and he's got to learn to handle that. And I was raised on those principles of knowing I'm different, being okay with that, and knowing that at the end of the day, just because the wheelchair is there, that, you know, you just have to overcome that in your own way.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to say that I have any sort of similar situation, but I've kind of experienced something similar psychologically where I realized at one point, because I got diagnosed with adult ADHD, yeah, which made a lot of things make sense. But you kind of, the way of the world is that just means I have to try harder. Like, I can't expect the world to like accommodate for me having a shitty,
yep,
like short term memory and stuff. Like it's my business to work harder, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. The world isn't going to cater to my needs and desires as much as I would love it to. And, whatever, life isn't fair at the end of the day. But I think it's equally unfair to everybody in different degrees. Because at the end of the day, we all have certain struggles and hardships that make our own individuals' lives like kind of shitty,
right? Yeah.
You know, and struggling is universal. We all know it to whatever, so like it's just different for everybody. But I think how we cope with that struggle can be kind of also universal.
Yeah,
sure.
I agree with that sentiment. Yeah, and I think that, like,
and I laugh and make jokes.
I like how when Kudos left, this suddenly became kind of like poignant and wholesome and right, nice.
New Zealand brings out the worstness.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that just goes to show that Kudos is the spice and we are the sugar.
Oh. Yeah,
I like that. Put some somber music when I say that.
I'm not your fucking monkey. Shit.
All right, I'll do it. Kudos is the spice and we are the sugar.
Just real quick, this isn't going anywhere. I know that you were on Thought Cops earlier this year. Do you keep up with them at all?
I haven't. It's been a pretty fucking weird year to...
Yeah,
but no, I haven't. Why was something?
Oh, they're just friends of the show.
They're great. They're awesome, great. Yeah, fucking dudes, and they live like not even 2 hours away from me at best.
Oh, okay.
I've been meaning to link up with them, but, you know, you can't do that right now.
Right.
And that's kind of a thing where it's like, I really feel like Americans, I'm seeing in basically every poll ever that, like, they ask, oh, are you going to take the vaccine? And like 60 to 80% of people are like, hell no. And it's, it's kind of like, we joke about it, but it means we're going to be here for a lot longer in this problem.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
I was so aware of that from the very beginning that I was like, It just felt too obvious. I don't know. Maybe I'm not trying to seem like big brain, but like when they were saying we're working on a vaccine and hopefully it'll be out next year, my first thought was nobody's going to fucking take that.
Right.
They're going to be way too skeptical.
At least not for
people
a while.
People are going to fucking twist that. Oh yeah. Not for a while. Not immediately. Yeah. I mean,
cause I mean, I don't mean to be that guy. Right. I don't mean to be that anti-vax guy.
Right.
But be fair,
this
was a very, I don't want to say it was like a rushed thing, but like, it's kind of freaky, you know, like, especially with how long
it's understandable.
With how long we've been dealing with this whole pandemic and like, they have like a cure for it. It's like, okay, but what's the catch? Am I going to grow another dick? Am I going to lose my dick?
I'd say if it gave me two dicks, I'd take it to, like, tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if it gave me two or three dicks, five dicks, yeah, I'll take it. I'll take five of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take your entire stock. Inject me wherever you want. Inject me directly into my dick. I don't care.
I want my dick to have a dick. I want my dick to look like one of those fucking rabbit vibrators.
See, Duplex, this is the thing. You take the vaccine, you get the dick. It works.
Well, I think it's reasonable to feel skeptical given this entire fucking year with how politicians handle things. So they really, if there's anybody to blame for skepticism right now, it's media and politicians, and they're going to be the ones that kill us.
Guess who's not on fire?
Hey
kiddos.
I had to evacuate because there was a fire, but there is now no longer a fire and I'm back.
Awesome. Are you still recording?
Yeah, I have started a new recording.
Okay.
Beautiful.
All right.
We were just, talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay. Should we clap?
Another clap?
Yeah. All right. Clap on the four. One, two, three.
Penis.
Penis.
Penis. So while you were gone, we got really wholesome for a while.
Then we did.
Can I join in on that?
Sure.
We'll have a whole conversation again.
I'm already doing it.
No, just go ahead. What's your contribution to what we were talking about, Kudos?
Yeah, go on.
You know, Lars, even in times as divisive as this, I'm glad that we could come together and share some common beliefs.
And, anyway. Yeah, and talking about how we overcome adversity in our lives. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what we were actually talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just overcame a fucking fire alarm. So that was cool.
Yeah. How'd you do that?
I had to go down 9 flights of stairs.
We thought it was really funny because you were like, it was not like a standard alarm. It was like a nuclear silo alarm.
Yeah.
Well, that was what was weird is because they've done tests before, but it's usually just like, it'll be like beep, and then it'll be that fucking guy being like, approach evacuate the building. And then it'll beep some more. But that didn't happen. So I was like, is this just a beep? What's happening? And then after like 5 minutes of beeping, it finally was like, oh, please evacuate the building. And then we left.
Please evacuate.
Wouldn't that be the worst if like whoever recorded it like flubbed the line, but they just kept it anyway?
Yeah.
Please do you want me to go again? I can go again. Okay, please evacuate the building now.
Meanwhile, people are on fire.
Yeah, some dude's dead, and this guy's like, "Well, that one wasn't very good." I could like they leave the whole fucking studio recording. Yeah,
they don't cut it at all.
That'd be great. You could. I mean, it's just a speaker. You could theoretically hack into your apartment's speaker system and just play whatever bullshit you want over it.
Ooh, Watch Dogs 3. Yeah. Okay. So Tej in the chat at discord.t1podcast.com if you want to tune into these episodes live.
Yes.
Says, is Kudos the Jackson of this podcast? Yeah, I was going to say, like, this is not the first time I've heard dystopian alarm sounds on a podcast from an Australian before. Is that just like a thing over there?
Yeah, we're constantly on fire. My old apartment was like, I guess. And I think we actually had to evacuate at least once a week or once a fortnight, not the video game. I don't know what the fuck it was, but it would just get set off by like toast, like someone burns their toast slightly. And now the entire like 5-story building has to all evacuate. So we would be pretty regularly out on the street at like 4 a.m. just with like our whole building and be like, oh, yep.
Hey, so what everyone, you're telling me is that again. Nobody in Australia knows how to fucking cook toast.
No one knows how to cook toast or wire fire alarms in that order.
Jesus.
It's sucks.
Or record fire messages.
Yeah. Oh, please just if you can. I don't want to be a person.
I don't mean to bug you, but
because the worst thing is it seems to happen like when you're asleep sometimes that you're either napping or it's like 4 a.m. and some fuck it's like drunk trying to cook food in the oven, they forget it's there and it just like burns. And so you get woken up by this voice just being like, please evacuate the building. And it feels like someone's like suddenly in your brain because it's like in the speaker in the roof that you've never heard before in your life. Yeah, just suddenly playing some bullshit. It would be so funny just to not even do something malicious, just swap out the audio file for something like that where it's like, oh, I don't want to bother you, but please leave. Go!
get out. Please.
It's just some really overweight, shy dude.
I don't want to bother you.
I don't want to know you're in the middle of something, but you gotta go.
I care about you. I don't want to see you die.
Run!
Please.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's funny. Anyway.
That's sorry.
Anyway.
What were we talking about before all this?
I think we should do Lars's Purchase Corner.
Okay, can I play a jingle?
Purchase Corner. Damn, he bought some shit.
What did he get this week? Thank you, Duplex.
Yeah.
damn, he kind of bought some stuff. Oh.
Oh, and by the way, guys, feel free to add your purchases as well. And not like purchases per se, but like gifts that you receive for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. It's the Christmas edition, yeah. By the way. Happy Christmas. Merry holidays to everyone. I think I got those the wrong way around, but whatever.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
This is officially the first episode that's going to come out in 2021.
What the
fuck? So there you go. Yeah.
Happy days.
Happy New Year.
Rush into your p-
Wow. 2021. I can't believe
I'm taking that out. They're not paying us anything to say that.
I cannot
believe that you just wish me a happy when you know I am more celebrating a bit.
Right. Yeah. I should have been more inclusive.
Quick side before we get into Lars's purchase corner. We're talking about dystopian ads earlier. Like, do you reckon it will ever get to the point where someone monetizes fire alarms? It's like, please escape. And while you're out, consider going down to your local Toyota dealer for a great deal. Run!
This fire alarm is sponsored by Audible Podcasts.
Yeah.
Preview.
Why are you killing time outside? Consider opening the App Store.
Yeah, I can see it.
Want a break from the ads? It's like a Spotify thing. Sorry, continue.
Oh, I don't know anything about that because I have a Spotify Premium. I'm not a peasant.
Oh, me too.
Premium for like 7 years now.
I never paid attention to the peasant memes. I always just paid for it, you know.
Yeah, likewise. Oh. Anyway, that's one of your purchases is a Spotify Premium membership.
Spotify Premium, yeah. I guess, man. Okay.
Anyway.
So one of the things I got this year was Super Mario 3D All-Stars.
Of course.
And it has Super Mario Galaxy on it, and I've never played this game. Have you guys played Super Mario Galaxy?
I never had a
Wii.
You
really never played Super Mario Galaxy?
I didn't have a Wii, man.
Well, you know what? Fair.
Yeah, I didn't either. I skipped the Wii.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
It's really fun.
It's such a good game, man.
Yeah, everyone seems to love that one. I've always been to play it myself.
I thought I was going to miss Cappy from Odyssey, and I do, but the planet mechanics are really cool. Like, they make up for it, like... You have a button that both like attacks enemies and also shoots your ass out of a star onto another planet. It's so engrossing, and it's such a visually impressive game.
And even the music.
Because they upscaled it. Yeah, the music is like chef's kiss. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Lars, what would you do if you used Cappy on a beautiful woman with massive tits and you took control of her body?
Oh, that just sounds like a delight. Just do what comes natural, I guess.
What does it entail? Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lars,
stand
does
in the
that
mirror.
And
just, yep, these are boobs.
You're like, yeah, there's some titties.
Yep. Cool. Yep.
Kind of jiggle them and, you know.
Is that like sexual assault? Like when not to derail too far off, but like if Mario in Mario Odyssey, if he tosses his hat on a woman, is that assault? Because
he's
effectively taken over her body.
You can say that about. There's a lot of moral quandaries with almost everything. Like when you take control of these like enemies against their will, like a parasite.
Right.
It's all very cute and cartoony.
Like a parasite.
So it really is like a parasite because he can like take control of their body and make them jump off a cliff and then just like hop out at the last second.
I mean,
right. And not have to deal with the consequence.
That'd be a good horror movie.
It's a good movie.
It's not
the Mario Odyssey.
It's the thing, but it's Mario.
I'm being possessed by a small Italian man. He's just in the background.
Whoopee!
Mexico!
At the same time, though, it's like it's Mario. Like, I feel like if I was like a woman in that situation, I'm like, why am I feeling my breasts? Oh, it's Mario! It'd be like, oh, he's kind of like this cute little like cartoon plumber. I wouldn't be like that upset, I think,
nice
in that situation.
Tits.
Well, there's that fucking Illumination Mario movie in the works.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be weird.
I'm worried about it. I won't lie to you. I hate Illumination a lot.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
even Despicable Me 1?
You know what? Hold on. I don't know if it's a hot take. I don't think it is. But you know what? I think the first two Despicable Me movies, they're not bad.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Oh,
I like the first
one. Yeah, they're
pretty good. But everything outside of that, I think I hate.
Yeah. Despicable Me, the first one, I ended up watching with like my younger cousins to kind of appease them when we were all getting together once. And I remember thinking like I didn't want to blow my brains out while watching it. Like it was all right.
Oh, that's always a good sign.
Yeah. Well, for a kid's movie, yeah, it is.
There's I just have PTSD from when I used to work in a studio. By the way, I'm a 3D artist, if you didn't know. I used to work in a studio, and we'd often watch, like... Do you just push every key? I just remember, like, in the morning, we'd have, like, you know, the stand-up meeting, and they had, like, a TV in the office, and they'd, like, play trailers from... like Illumination movies, and it was like always that show where it's like cats and dogs. There was a cat and dog one that they did where it's like, oh, the Secret Life of Pets. Pets.
Yeah,
and it's just like the most. It's just the most like. I know this is a dumb word to say, but it's like the most normie shit ever, and like just everyone will be like laughing like at these fart jokes and stuff on the trailer, and I'm just like, can we just do some work? You're not paying me for this. I don't know. It just seemed like it was pandering to very much that kind of crowd, which is fine,
right?
Yeah, not really for me.
I really dislike when any kind of company tries to promote like a culture of some sorts, like outside of the work.
We used to do something called a Cake Friday, except they bought awful cakes that no one wanted, and they never really... Here's the worst thing that ever happened was two people at the office got married. Like, I guess they were a couple before they started at the office. And they got married. And then our boss's friends with them on Facebook for some reason. And he proceeded to play the entire 10-minute like montage of photos that their photographer had put together from the wedding. And they were very visibly uncomfortable the entire time.
Yeah.
And he kind of even was like, even he kind of realized that it was awful for everyone involved. Because he was like, we're watching the whole thing like a joke. And then we literally just sat there and watched a 12-minute montage of photos from this couple's wedding. It was awful. God.
It sounds like something Michael Scott would do.
No, it was really like a Michael Scott moment. Yeah. It was so uncomfortable. And like everyone, like the leads, like the managers and stuff were like literally face palming and just like looking at the floor. It was so uncomfortable. Anyway.
Yikes.
Lars's purchase.
Oh, but yeah, by the way, and we have about 5 minutes to go for the cutoff. If we want to keep going, we'll just slap the rest on the Patreon. Just letting you guys know. Do you guys have any Lars's Purchase Corner equivalents?
I got a bartender's kit from my beautiful buxom girlfriend. So that's the plan for New Year's.
Buxom,
now we're turning our apartment into a bar. We've got a bar mat, and we've got peanuts and drinks and cups and everything. So you're all invited. I'll be sure to dox myself, and you can just come over.
Yeah, I'm going to come over. Right. I'm going to cough into the peanuts.
Well, feel free. We're 58 days with no community transmissions.
Well, it's about time then.
Yeah.
You could be the first one.
Yeah.
Man, I was thinking about that, like if you were the epicenter of... Oh, we're not talking about this. Sorry.
Yeah. I bought another spider.
Oh,
wait, fuck? Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus fucking
holy
Christ.
Shit.
Yeah, I got another spider because I love my spider very much. He's a cool little dude. I like watching him hop around, so I got another one.
I hate to break it to you, but he's not.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
He's cool to watch, like, you know, eat, but for the most part, he just kind of makes a nest and just sleeps all day.
I mean, that's fair.
You should punch it to death on camera.
I have like a weird thing with people that have spiders as pets. I don't trust them.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well, no, that's totally fair. Here's the thing. I have horrible arachnophobia, but I recently have grown a respect. A fondness for jumping spiders, because they're adorable. I don't know if you've ever seen one, but they're really cute. They're not like that ugly type of spider, and they're pretty friendly for the most part. Thankfully, because I feel like if I had a little killer bug in my home, I probably wouldn't be able to sleep. So that's cool.
So you keep saying, every time you bring this up, you say you have arachnophobia, but then you also purchased a spider, which makes me think you don't actually have arachnophobia, because I would not have that spider in my house.
It's the same thing to like people that are scared of heights. They need to, you know, fucking stand on like an edge. Like, I can understand that to get like that rush of feeling alive. You know, maybe that's what it is. Like, that's your
And, is this like a fetish thing?
I need
thing,
to feel
or?
Something. I need to feel something. That's it.
Okay.
I'm a husk of a man.
Have you seen that video of the guys doing like where they do that like wall running shit or that parkour stuff, but like the really dangerous kind where they're like running across like the edge of rooftops? And there's that one where there's the guy and he's holding onto a ledge and he's like doing pull ups, and it's like a 60 meter drop, but he does too many pull ups and. You know, it's like you ever been at the gym and you just too much and your body just physically cannot do anymore. And he suddenly realizes he doesn't have the energy to pull himself back up and he falls and dies. That's a that's a cool
are you talking about the guy in China?
Yeah, it was in China.
I
do remember that.
Yeah, you don't see it's like cropped up. You don't see him fucking splat. You just see this dude doing like kind of braggadocious, you know, like is that even a word? He's very, you know, like showing off. So it is sort of like a bit of hubris.
I think every time you've said the word braggadocious on the podcast, you've been like, is that a word? And you've done this many times.
It's a word now. If anything, it's a word now.
Now it is.
Do you know that The Simpsons made the word embiggen a word?
Oh, yeah. A noble spirit embiggens the smallest man.
It's a good word.
What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
What is embiggen?
It's a very cromulent word.
It means like just to make big.
I know,
but it's
cromulent like, is a Simpsons word.
Yeah.
By the way, are we going to wrap this up at... Hour 30, or would you guys want to keep going? Because we got to kind of like give the socials and stuff if we're going to cut it for Patreon.
Right. Yeah, we can cut it.
Amazing.
Okay, you guys over this? Should we stop?
I can play another song if you'd like.
I'm easy either way.
Okay. Well, before we do that, Donovan, if people want to follow your wild card Twitter humor, what's the best way to do that?
You give me a follow at Real Young Crip, young as in like the rapper version of young with just the U and no O because, you know, that's the cool thing.
You dropped the O because you smoked it.
Yeah, exactly. And Crip with two P's so as to not confuse me for gang affiliation.
I thought the gang affiliation was the two P's.
Yeah, you're
wrong. That's what a lot of people think. And so I did it for no reason. That was a legitimate, like, active choice that I made. Because I was like, if I leave the one P, a lot of people are just going to assume I'm Crip.
You're a Crip.
If I put the extra P, it's fine. And it hasn't been fine. People
just
still
add an extra P to a word. You should be good to go.
That's your Twitter account. Do you have like a Pornhub account you use to like save videos you like or whatever that people can follow you?
Yeah, but
like,
they fucking used my account.
Yeah. Oh, really?
They said you had too many kidnapped women on your fucking page that you're having sex with. So I don't know what they're on about. Whatever.
Patreon.com/T1Podcast, guys. If you want to get bonus episodes of the show, early release privileges, a patron-only role in the Discord, a funny little chat. And more. Helps the show a lot. And also, guys, if you're listening to this on YouTube and you made it this far, obviously you dig what we're doing. So just give us a subscription. You can
just
always change your mind later.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Oh, Ryan Kinder's here in the voice chat, I see.
Please
do it. It's too late. We are just wrapping up, my guy.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Ryan.
You guys want to do one more talk for the patrons?
Yeah, we can. I'm
right. Yeah.
Okay. So fuck you, plebs, if you want to tune into the rest of this.
I drink milk and I shit myself.